Amen. All right. Join with me in prayer real quick, if you would, please. God, we thank you again for this opportunity. Please help us to grow and hear and with our spiritual ears and believe and just show us things in your word and guide us through this service in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You can follow along on the sermon in the YouVersion. I also have notes out front. If you got notes before Sunday school class, it's a little bit different. So you might want to pick up notes on your way out as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Kingdom. We've talked about kingdom before. It's not like a physical kingdom that you can put a physical throne in and there's gates and there's walls. This is not talking about a kingdom which is divine rule. The Hebrew or the Greek word there is basileia. Divine rule, authority. Kingdom is a dominion, a culture of laws and regulations. Jesus tried to tell them, right, that Jewish people wanted him to be to set up a kingdom, physical kingdom. He's trying to say, no. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So seek first his kingdom, or God's authority, God's divine rule. Jesus prayed, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's talking about. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. It's a free gift. We get it from Christ and his sacrifice, but it's something that we have to maintain. Romans 1:17, the righteous man shall live by faith. It's an ongoing thing. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Right? What things will be added to you? Well, in that chapter, is talking about specifically what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. All those things will be added to you if you seek first the kingdom of God. Sustenance. We don't have to worry about that. Ta-da! Congratulations. Welcome to Christianity. Thank you. Now, obviously, the word that I want to focus on today is the word first, which I know may sound kind of odd. It did to me at first. A couple of weeks ago in my prayer time, God began to dealing with me about first and the significance that this word has in Scripture and the significance that this word could possibly have in our everyday lives, especially our Christian everyday lives, our spiritual journeys. First. I found it, so I began to do a study. I found it over 500 times in the Bible. I was kind of surprised at that too, over 500 times. So I want to look at some of these, so I'm going to fly through some things where I found this word first, just to kind of give us an idea and a base of what we're talking about, the Bible using the word first. In the Old Testament and throughout the whole the Old Testament, there was the firstborn. The firstborn got the birthright. He was special. There were first fruits. These were the offerings and sacrifices given to God. Throughout the whole entire Old Testament, they did that. And it wasn't just actual fruit. It could be fruit, but it could be grain offerings. It could be crops. It could be the firstborn of whatever herd or flock that you were raising. It could even be used in oil. We see it first fruit as oil, wine, and bread. By the way, another thing that we don't want you putting in the offering bucket is wine. So, for instance, Exodus 13:2, sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both man and beast. It belongs to me. God said that. And in Leviticus 27:26, However, a firstborn among animals, which as a firstborn belongs to the Lord. Deuteronomy 18:4, you shall give him the first fruits of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the first shearing of your sheep. Jesus was also called a first fruit. There were several times that the first day of the week, sometimes even the first day of the first month, was mentioned, and it was noteworthy. Exodus 12:16, on the first day you shall have a holy assembly. Leviticus 23:7, on the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall not do any laborious work. Sometimes consecration happened on the first day. There was a significance of Saul's first altar that he built. Remember when God did the miracle for the lady through Elijah, and he said, I know that you're out of food and you have no flour, but if you'll go into and use the last of your flour and cook me a cake or bread first, God will bless you for it, which he did, and it became a miracle jar of flour. God told Isaiah a couple of times that God is the first and the last. Many times the first year of a reign of a king was noteworthy. I found that several times. In the New Testament, we find that we are to reconcile with brothers first, then present an offering. Take out the log in your eye first, then you help your brother with the speck. I love that visual, right? Gather the tares first, then we gather the wheat. Clean the inside of the cup first, then the outside. Feed the children first and then the dogs. And then Romans 8:23 says, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I really wanted you to read this one with me because I loved this. For I delivered to you, this is Paul talking, he says, I delivered to you as the first importance what I also received. The first importance, Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. Had to put that in there, right? Amen? Even men to be claimed as deacons first had to be tested. So it became clear to me as I just began to look and read all these scriptures about how the Bible uses this word first and how can we apply it to our lives. And it became clear to me that there is an order of things. There is an importance in intentionally putting certain things first, right? Physically and intentionally putting things first in your life. The reason that you intentionally put something first in a very physical way is because it causes you to realize and develop your priorities in a truly life-changing way. Whatever you put first, if it's truly your priority, you're not just saying, you know, Jesus is the Lord of my life, or, you know, he's first, all this, but you're truly living that way, and it's evident, then your life will be changed. Philippians 3:12. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on toward the goal. I wanted to read this because sometimes, well, I'll say this. Whatever you find yourself running towards is the goal that you have in your heart, which is your priority. Whatever it is that you find yourself running towards. I think that's important because sometimes slowly our priorities can change, right? And we begin to miss the mark. I want to make sure that I keep that mind like what Paul was talking about. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize, on the goal. and know exactly what my priorities are. Because if I know where my goal is at, I know how to get there. I'm more comfortable running in that way. In other words, if our priority is God and His Word and His Spirit, and we force ourselves to intentionally live our lives that way, then God, His Word, and His Spirit will begin to saturate our thoughts throughout the entire day. And then we're living in the Spirit and thinking like God thinks, the mind of Christ. Even when we're at work, when we're out shopping, when we're out to eat. But sometimes, like I said, our priorities have to be refocused on occasion to make sure that we are still intentional, and we should be able to prove it. I'm not saying you have to prove anything to anybody, but every once in a while, I believe we should stop and say, what is my priority? I stop and say, Jeff, this is what I call myself. What is your priority? And then I say, prove it. Many of you may know Pastor J. Dwight Burchett, that pastored Union Grove and Life Christian Ministries for many, many years. I'll never forget a couple of times he said, I can tell where a person's priorities are if you let me borrow their checkbook for a couple of minutes. I want to read to you from, if you would, turn to Malachi. Some say Malachi, but well, I stole that, but it's still funny. Malachi 1, starting with verse 6, if you would, please. Our priorities, our intentions, what's first in our life? We're going to read something about some priests in Malachi, and God's talking to them. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am their father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled blood upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you, in that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised? But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. But now will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. They were bringing to God their leftovers to sacrifice to God. Their offerings and their sacrifice were the leftovers. Their lambs that were blind or lame or sick. In other words, you don't want to rebreed if you're a farmer that has sheep. You don't want to rebreed the ones that are lame or the ones that are blind. Some of them are so bad they may not even want to eat them. So it's like, what are you going to do? They got to call them out anyway. So they would bring them and make them the sacrifice. Well, it wasn't a sacrifice because they had to get rid of them anyway. That's not what God wanted. They were bringing God their leftovers. God even said, try giving that to the government. See what they say about that. Now, another interesting fact in this passage was this. Twice God told them, I am the great king. Regardless of how they felt, regardless of how well they obeyed, regardless of whatever they believed, God said, I am the great king. I'm a great king among nations. And here's what I thought. The sacrifice isn't to prove to God that he's the great king. The sacrifice is to prove to God and yourself where your priorities lie. He doesn't need to be convinced of how great he is, right? because regardless of little old me, he's still going to be great. So it's not the sacrifice that proves who God is to himself. It's not why he requests that. What it does is it proves to God, it proves to me, myself, where my priorities truly lie. Is it really a relationship, or is it simply a religion like these priests begin to make it? When we give our time and to our relationship with God, is it the time that we have left over in the day? Or is it truly a sacrifice? Is it intentional? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with waiting until the end of the day to spend your time with God, but make it not leftovers. Make it, that's when I do it. That's when I'm going to do this. You set aside time. That makes it a priority, right? It's now a priority. When you do that, you really have obeyed the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Andy Stanley said this, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. You don't accidentally get into some great end of life schemes. It's something that we prioritize and get ourselves there. Which means that we have to occasionally rearrange our priorities. Many times at church, I've had people come to me and they've just gone through something dramatic or tragic in their life. Maybe someone close to them passed away. Maybe there's a serious disease. Maybe they've had a car accident. And my heart goes out to them. And one of the things that I hear so many times is that it completely changes their priorities. You can see it in them. And a lot of them even say that. My priorities are completely changed. And so it should. But there's almost always a regret that the priorities didn't change earlier. I wished I'd have spent more time with them. Maybe if I'd have done this and not this and just spent more time with my family or things like that. Priorities change. And that sometimes there's regret when they don't change soon enough. Sometimes we need to stop before tragedy happens and look at what our priorities are. It's so easy to get caught up in the concerns of life, because sometimes life just happens, and before we know it, life has begun to grow, and it's changed our priorities. Jesus talked about this in the parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. There's four different soils that he says the sower is spreading seeds on. The seeds, he said, compares to the word of the kingdom. Four different soils. And one of those soils, in verse 22, he explains it. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches means that there is no production, no fruit of spiritual things in your life. The soil has things in it that's contrary to the word. Now, if you ever raised a garden, any of you ever been gardeners outside? So I know now who to ask for tomatoes from, so thank you for that. No, there's a hoeing process that you have to do. You have to get rid of the weeds, because a lot of times, unfortunately, the weeds grow faster than the things that you want to eat, right? So you have to get in there and you have to take out those things in the soil. There's stuff in the soil that distracts us. Deceitfulness of riches or the worries of the world begins to distract us. And if we don't notice that and say, oh, that's not supposed to be there, and get that out of there, then pretty soon we get overgrown and now we have no spiritual fruit happening in our lives. I believe God has more in store for you than you can imagine. I read a scripture the other day about God's ways are higher than our ways. God's plans for you are higher than your plans for you. But in order for us to see these words of the kingdom produce fruit, we have to make sure that we get all the non-essentials out of the soil that's contrary to the word. We have to make sure that our sacrifices are truly sacrifices and not just things we do to make us feel better. And our priorities are in the correct place. God gets our best time. He gets our best sacrifice. He gets our best money. Just easy. He gets our best service. He truly is first, and I can prove it to myself. Now, here's the great part of this message that Jesus is saying here. In Matthew 6:33, we just read about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The blessing is found in the next verse, I think. Matthew 6:34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And then Jesus says what? I'll give you a hint. Do, 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 do. Don't worry. Be happy, man. Now, I challenge you to do this. Throughout the chapter in Matthew 6 and Luke 12, read Luke 12 this week. Jesus is teaching us that, yeah, sure, there's a lot of people out there and their primary goals, their focus in life is to make sure to get things to wear, get things to drink, get things to eat. But he's saying listen, God wants to take care of all that for you. God wants to help you with this. So you don't have to worry about this. That's not where you spend your time. Sometimes if we'll allow God to bless us by focusing our attention and putting him first, we get rid of some of the things in our life that isn't producing spiritual fruit. We receive those blessings. But you have to be someone that God can trust, someone that will use those blessings for good, because your priority, obviously, is the kingdom of God, because that's what you use. That's what you look for first. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The King James Version says, casting all your care upon him for he careth for you. The first care in that scripture is anxiety. The second care is actually a different Greek word altogether. It actually means what we normally say for care, concern, take care of, interest to. Cast your anxiety on him. Do you know what you worry about? What you're concerned about? What weighs you down? Becomes a priority. That becomes where your heart's priority is there. And so sometimes we have to cast that out, because if we're not careful, we begin to run in the direction of our anxieties, of our worries. I got to take care of that. I got to fix that. I got to do that. God says, listen, if you'll just cast those cares on me, you first seek the kingdom of God, I'll handle it. He never said it would be perfect, but he's going to handle it. Well, that takes pressure off of me. That's why he said several times, like in John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just don't do it. Matthew, I think, 16:27. God loves you and wants you to be at peace. He wants you to have no worries, but he can't force that on you, right? That's got to be something that you do by making him a priority. an intentional physical priority in your everyday life. For instance, set aside time for Him. I think it's valuable to set aside time to pray before every meal. Just, if nothing else, God, thank you for this food that I'm eating. I've set aside time for that. It becomes a thing that I do. That's seeking Him first. That's putting God physically first and intentionally in my life. Knowing that we are eternal creatures should change our priorities. Think about that. You are a priority to God. That's why He paid the highest price for you that could be paid. 1 John 4:19, one last verse. We love because He first loved us. If you would stand with me, please, in prayer. I want to invite anybody that's maybe on that, at that point in your life, you haven't asked God into your life, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. Today's the day to do it. Don't let it go by. He first loved you so much, He gave His only begotten Son for you. Don't miss heaven because of being embarrassed. If you want Jesus into your life this morning, I want you to raise your hand if you would, please. Amen. God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have given to us, the breath in our lungs, even physically. We appreciate it and are just grateful to be here in your house, in your presence. We love you so very much. As we're in prayer, I want to open up the altars. If you have a need in your life that you would like to have someone pray with you, I want to open up the altars this morning. If you would, please just come on down and let's have some time of prayer. It's great to be in the presence of God. Never let a silent time in a church service make you uncomfortable. Just enjoy God's presence. Where this many people are gathered in His name, He is in our midst. God is here. If you have a need, let's pray about it today. If a need arises, feel free to call me or one of the pastors at the church anytime. We're always willing to pray, talk it out with you. Come by and see us. We love you very much. God loves you a little bit more. But we do love you. Jill and I love you. And so take with you the ability that God has given to you to impact others this week. Amen. Who's with me? All right. You are dismissed. Thank you.